Hello and welcome back to another episode of It's About Time, a DC sports podcast. It is late on April 9th, which is a Tuesday. The Nationals just finished a 10-inning comeback win over the Philadelphia Phillies, winning the game 10-6. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk mostly about the Nats tonight, about their past week. It's been an interesting week. You know, the last podcast I recorded was directly after Bryce Harper's return to DC. The Nationals were thoroughly embarrassed. I mean, just embarrassed. National stage did not come through. Max Scherzer pitches five innings, and then the bullpen just completely melts down. Bryce hits a massive home run. All that stuff. So we're going to talk about what's happened since then for the Nationals. There's been some positive stuff. Tonight kind of being the most positive thing that has happened in the last week. And there have been some negative things. And we're going to talk about, after we talk about tonight's game, we're going to talk, I'm going to break down the Nats' first 10 games, a glass half full version and a glass half empty version. Because you can look at this team in multiple ways. I don't think that you can cookie cutter them. And I don't think you can make the determination right now that they're good or they're bad. I don't think you can. I think it's too early to tell. I don't think you can make that determination about any team in the National League East, save for the Marlins, who you can probably say are a 100-loss team. I just think it's too early. And yeah, it's only 10 games in, but we've seen a lot of the Mets. We've now seen a lot of the Phillies. And I have some thoughts about both of those teams and how they stack up against the Nats. In the moment, it does feel like the Nats aren't as good as we thought they were going to be. I don't really believe that to be the case. I think there are parts of the team that are actually better than I thought they'd be, and there are parts of the team that are significantly worse than I thought they'd be. So we'll get into that, the glass half full, glass half empty. We're going to talk about tonight's win because it's fresh in my mind. Just finished watching it. Had to rip up the first like third to a half of the outline because I was starting to write the outline. Well, I started it earlier today with the glass half full, glass half empty, but then also I was writing it during the beginning of the game, and when it was 6-1, I was like, well, whew, it's going to be a bit of a dire podcast talking about the Nats. And I had to change that a little bit because the Nats, they showed some heart, they showed some guts, and they went out there and they took it. They came back from down 6-1 to end up winning 10-6. So we'll talk about the win tonight, and then we'll talk about the Nats so far, their first 10 games as they hit their they hit that mark today. They are now 5-5, so we'll talk about all of that. Before we get into that, a reminder that we are affiliated with the DMV SportsNetwork.com. That is the DMV SportsNetwork.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. Give them a follow. They're a great up-and-coming DC sports website to cover all things DC sports. They've got great written content. They're also affiliated with a lot of podcasts. They put some podcasts out themselves. A couple of those podcasts, you have Half Street, High Heat. You also have the DMV Dispute, which is a debate podcast. So check them out. They cover all things DC sports. They also touch a little bit on national sports. So please check them out. Also follow us on Twitter. It's About Time DC1. That's ITS. About Time DC1. Give us a follow. Let us know what you think. And please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. Subscribe. Rate us. Let us know what you think. We would we'd really love to hear from you guys. We always love hearing from you. And if you have things that you'd like us to cover on the podcast, by all means, shoot us a direct message and we will cover that. All right, so let's get into it. Big win tonight for the Nats. Game started by Steven Strasburg. He had a good start to the game. I mean, threw a five-pitch first inning and then struggled. There's no other way to put it. He put up a four spot in the third inning and then a two spot in the fourth inning. All six runs were charged to Strasburg. Gave up a pretty sizable three-run home run to Bryce Harper. Hit it to left center field. It really felt like, as you're going into the fifth, sixth innings, here we go again. A lot like what happened last Tuesday. Harper hits a home run. The Nats bullpen coming in. They're already down 6-1. You feel like they're just going to, it's just going to get worse from there. The Nats are going to pack it in, and it's going to be one of those laughers, you know, a 10-1, 11-1 finish. Well, bullpen comes out. They go six scoreless to close out the game. I thought that Davey was masterful in the way that he handled the bullpen tonight. nothing was smarter than in the ninth inning. He started the ninth inning. Top of the Phillies order was up. Started the ninth inning with Bearclaw. McCutchen leads off with a hard single to left field. Bearclaw gets Segura looking on a strikeout. So you've got one out. Harper's coming up. Bearclaw's a righty. But Davey was smart. He had Doolittle up. Now, Doolittle's your closer. Conventional wisdom says you save him for a closing, a save situation. But Davey knew that this was probably the ball game. With Harper and Hoskins coming up, man on first, one out, he went and got Doolittle. Doolittle strikes out Harper, ends up getting out of the inning without giving up a run. That was huge because the Nats had 2-3-4 coming up. And Dozier walks. I think he walked. Things are starting to meld together. Anyway, it was first and second. Dozier and Rendon both got on base. Rendon singled up the middle. I think Dozier walked. No, Dozier actually got a seeing eye single to shortstop. Hit it into the shift. Seeing eye single. And then Rendon, a hard line drive up the middle to center field. Runners on first and second. Juan Soto comes up in the top of the 10th inning and hits a massive, massive home run. Probably close to 450 feet down the right field line. Barely fair. Went over the foul pole. Phillies would challenge it. Nats win the challenge. Massive home run by Juan Soto. But before all of that happened, going into the ninth inning, the Nats are down 6-5. And there are two outs. Victor Robles comes up. Odubre Ramos is on the mound for the Phillies. The Phillies, as FP noted tonight, they don't have a set closer. They go with matchups. Ramos got the first two outs with relative ease. Robles is down to his last strike, and he takes an outside pitch and pulls it to left center field for a solo home run. Huge moment for the Washington Nationals. Tie the game 6-6. That's why what Davey did in the bottom of the ninth inning with Doolittle was so important, because he knew we have the momentum. We have the heart of our order coming up in the top of the 10th. The Phillies have already fired a lot of their weapons. From the bullpen. So let's take advantage. And he did that. He used his best reliever by far in the highest leverage situation possible. He strikes out Harper and he gets out of the inning. So then Soto, 3-run bomb. They tack on another run, end up winning 10-6. Doolittle gets his third win of the season. And the Nats, instead of being 4-6, are now 5-5. And all is well, at least for one night in Washington Nationals land. Big game for Victor Robles, big game for Juan Soto. Got to feel good about what the Nats offense is doing. So the question is, what does a win like this mean in April? To me, the Nats, I still don't think they know who they are. You went into the season, you said they're going to be defined by dominant starting pitching and a solid bullpen with a lockdown closer and guys that can do the little things right offensively. Probably not going to have a whole lot of pop outside of Juan Soto, Anthony Rendon, and probably Brian Dozier. Maybe Ryan Zimmerman if he stays healthy. You're not going to have a ton of pop. You're not going to hit a lot of home runs, but you're going to manufacture runs. At least that's the way I looked at them. They've been anything but that. They've been hitting a ton of home runs. Their bullpen has been an absolute mess. Their starting pitching has been spotty. Steven Strasburg has been Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He's had two, like his first start, he gave up 4 runs in 6 innings. It was kind of an average start, a little bit below average for him. His second start, he was completely dominant against the Mets. No runs, could do anything he wanted to do. And then tonight, gives up a 6 spot in 4 innings against the Phils. So, Max Scherzer has been himself. Patrick Corbin has been okay. Anibal Sanchez has looked okay. We haven't seen Jeremy Hellickson yet. We'll see him tomorrow night. Nats don't know who they are. What does a win like this mean in April for the Nats? What it means is, to me, is that in any situation, they can feel like we've still got a chance to win this game. That's the first thing. Second thing is they had to feel like coming into tonight's game that the Phillies kind of had their number. And that the Harper thing, you know, you maybe as a fan at least, I felt like, man, this is going to linger all year. You're just going to feel like the Phillies are always going to have the upper hand because of the Harper dynamic. And tonight, Harper homers, they go up 6-1, and then he's a non-factor the rest of the game. And the Nats, with their two young outfielders, the two outfielders that made Harper somewhat expendable in D.C., come through. Robles with the game-tying home run in the ninth, Soto with the go-ahead home run in the 10th. Showing why the Nationals are deep in their lineup. And I think that this gives them a world of confidence. Does this mean they're going to come out and win tomorrow? They've got Hellickson on the mound? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. In August last year, they faced Aaron Nola twice in the span of 10 days. It was actually Scherzer against Nola twice. In those two games, the Nats lost both of them, ended any hope the Nats had of clawing back into the division, ended any hope Max Scherzer had of winning a third consecutive Cy Young. Aaron Nola had the Nats' number at the end of last year. The Nats have hit Nola. Now, Nola was left in too long tonight, but he ends up giving up 5 runs in 6 1/3. The Nats have found a way to hit Nola. He gave up, I believe, 6 runs in his first start against the Nats last Wednesday in the day game. So if that's the Aaron Nola is the best the Phillies have pitching wise, and the Nats can hit him. So you got to feel a lot better about your prospects against the Phillies. Now the Phillies offense, they're top of the order. I mean, I don't know if there's a top of the order better. With McCutchen, Gene Segura, Harper, and Hoskins, and then JT Realmuto batting fifth. Gene Segura, I mean, he's hitting .360 right now. I don't anticipate that lasting all season, but he has been a table setter for Harper and Hoskins, and he has created nightmares for opposing pitching staffs. If he continues to do that, continues to find ways to get on base, he's going to make life a lot easier for Harper and Hoskins. And right now, Hoskins is feeding off of it. So is Bryce. I mean, Bryce has had a great start to the season. He is usually a prolific player in April. Not taking anything away from the start that he's had. But he's usually a prolific player in April, and he has been nothing short of that so far through 10 games this season. So we could look back 2 weeks and this win means nothing. Or we could look back and say this is going to springboard them to where they finally get on a little bit of a roll. They actually, tomorrow night is a rubber match. They're 5-5, rubber match tomorrow with Philly to cap out the first 11 games of the season. All 11 were against division opponents. They had 6 against the Mets, 5 against the Phillies. If they can go 6-5, given the way things started, I think you got to feel pretty good. And then you get to play out-of-division games. You've got Pittsburgh coming in this weekend. I think you feel pretty good about it if you can get a win tomorrow. Now, we could look back in 2 weeks and go, this win meant nothing because they didn't capitalize off of it. And they had a lot of wins like that last year where you felt like, oh, this is where they're finally going to take off, and it didn't last. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days. But this could be something. It's only April 9th, but this could be something that's pretty big for the Nats. So again, they're 5-5 going into a rubber match tomorrow with Philly. Hellickson is on the bump. So let's look at the Nats, their first 10 games of the season. We're going to look at it from a pessimist's point of view and an optimist's point of view. And I don't think that you can look at the Nationals without looking at it from both sides. Because there's a lot to be excited about. And then there's some to go, ugh. Like, for instance, through 10 games, the team has scored 59 runs. They're averaging 5.9 runs per game. That's awesome. They keep that up all year. They should be a 100-win team. But that's glass half full. Glass half empty. Through 10 games, they've given up 59 runs. Their pitching staff, especially the bullpen, has been a train wreck. So let's start with, because I'm in a good mood, they won tonight. They won a game that really they had no business winning, down 6-1. Let's start with the glass half full. I think that's the best way to start. And who else can you start with other than the ninth inning hero from tonight's game, Victor Robles? Now, these stats are mostly from before, because I pulled them from before tonight's game. I'm going to add some stuff in, including tonight's game. But Robles, coming into tonight's game, was batting .276, had a .382 on base. He had two homers coming into the game. He did hit his third tonight. He has found a home in that ninth spot for the Nats, kind of like a slingshot back to the top of the order. He's the real deal. And he's shown flashes in center field of why he's heavily touted as a defensive star in center field. He is the real deal. And I can't wait to watch him for a full season. The same really goes, I think, even though it's been a bit of a slower start, same goes for Juan Soto. Now, Soto, coming into the night, only had one homer, hit his second tonight, was only batting .265, but had a .359 on base. He has looked hitterish in the last week. He started off a little bit slowly, but I think that we have seen enough through the first 10 games of the season to determine that Soto, who now has a much bigger spotlight on him than he did last year, is rising to that occasion. I think that it's safe to say that last year was not a fluke for Juan Soto, and it's safe to say also that Soto is the real deal. And in my opinion, he has also improved heavily in left field. And you've got those two anchors for the next six seasons in left and center field, and they're both 20 years old. Robles is going into his 22-year-old season. Ultra young guys who have shown that they're ready to be major leaguers. I mean, Juan Soto showed that last year. And Soto tonight with a massive home run and a clutch spot. Gotta feel good about those two guys. And probably most important of all, Anthony Rendon is having his best start to a season that he's ever had. He came into tonight batting .412 with a .500 on base, a 1.412 OPS. He's got four home runs, nine ribbies. This is all coming into tonight's game. I mean, the guy has just been white hot. White hot. He looks comfortable at the plate. He looks comfortable being the focal point, the three-hole hitter for the Nationals. And I'm not saying he's going to hit .400 all season, but I think we're seeing the first all-star season for Anthony Rendon, because he's a notoriously slow starter. But I think that he's going to put up numbers in April and May where he's going to get noticed. And I think we're going to see his first all-star season coming at a great time for him going into a contract year. I think the Nats lock him up probably prior to the all-star break. He has really shown that he's ready to be the guy that's going to lead by example, be the offensive focal point for this team. And just in general, on a glass half full perspective, this lineup, though it's lacking star power, is producing runs. As I stated, 5.9 runs per game. And they're also fighting late in games. And you kind of get the feeling they're never really out of it, because they have guys that can get on base. I mean, aside from Brian Dozier, who has had a pretty, and he'll be in the glasses half empty portion, who has had a pretty slow start to the season, the rest of the team has a .333 or higher on base percentage. Yan Gomes, Ryan Zimmerman, Rendon, Soto, Robles, Eaton. Suzuki's at .294, but they're getting on base. They're finding ways to get on base, and they're finding ways to manufacture runs, whether it's stringing a couple hits together, moving guys over. This lineup's a lot better than I thought it was going to be in producing runs. I thought that they were going to have spells where they were going to be dry, and they still might. But right now they're showing that there is not an easy out in the lineup. Even with Wilmer Defoe in there, there's not an easy out in the lineup. They are tough 1-9. And the idea of having Robles bat ninth has really, I thought, lengthened the order. And when he leads off, he's something like 6-11. He's really been, when he leads off an inning, I should say, he's been 6-11. Really, he's really showing that he's comfortable in that spot. Max Scherzer has shown to me that he's still Max Scherzer. His ERA is a little high because he gave up a couple runs late to the Mets on Sunday. But He's got 28 strikeouts in 19 innings, as opposed to only four walks. His whip is a little bit high at 1.105 because he's given up some hits. ERA at 3.32 through three starts. Max is Max. Stras coming into tonight had a 2.84 ERA. Not as good. But to go along with Max, I think Patrick Corbin has looked very good in his first two starts. He's thrown 12 innings, six innings per start. Has 13 Ks in 12 innings, only three walks. Corbin looks like a good investment. Anibal Sanchez has been a little bit up and down. But Max and Corbin have looked good through the first two starts. That definitely goes in the glass half full container. And then a great positive news story for the Nats. Howie Kendrick and Michael A. Taylor are healthy. They are back with the team. They're ready to contribute. Kendrick hit a pinch hit home run tonight. Michael A., I think we'll probably see him spell Adam Eaton, maybe even as soon as tomorrow night. He had a great spring. He's had great springs in the past. He's going to be their fourth outfielder. There's nothing's going to wrestle center field away from Victor Robles now. Nothing at all. And the final thing in the glasses half full department, this team rebounded exceptionally well after being embarrassed a week ago. In Harper's return to D.C., they were thoroughly embarrassed on a national stage. And they came back that Wednesday, day game, against the Phillies. And while it was a wild game, they came away with the win. I believe the final score was 9-8. And then they go opening, or the home opener for the Mets. And Strasburg shuts them out. And the Nats end up winning that game pretty easily. It was probably the cleanest game they'd played all year. So they rebounded well after being embarrassed by Philly, by Bryce Harper. And now they finally, one more game against the Phillies. And then, you know, I think they're now into the rhythm of the season. You know, this will be their third consecutive night game tomorrow night. You got to feel pretty good about where they are, about finally getting into a rhythm, getting away from the drama. But one thing, and I'll take, before I go into the glasses half empty, one thing I kind of noted tonight on Twitter is that these first 10 games, the majority of them have been, first of all, highly entertaining. Highly entertaining. There's been a lot of drama. They have been stressful to watch. Really stressful to watch. And if every game's going to be like this, I don't know if I'm going to make it through August, but it's been really entertaining. And you got to expect that just about every division game, Mets, Braves, Phillies, Nats, is going to be a knockdown, dragout fight. And it's awesome. It's really awesome. I mean, it's better than what has been in the past where you'd go to the Mets and their stadium would be 25 or 30% full. Same with Philly. Always the case in Miami. This time you're going to see full crowds, full-throated, ready to go. And it's a lot of fun to watch, man. It's a lot of fun to be a part of. And I'm looking forward to it. My stomach, my nerves are not so much looking forward to it. I'd like the Nats to get out to some early leads and just ride them out. But we'll see what happens there. All right, let's get to the somewhat of the negative portion. The glass is half empty. The first thing, which is the thing that has gotten the most attention nationally, is that Trevor Rosenthal has yet to record an out this season. His ERA is still infinite. He has given up seven earned runs, four hits, and four walks. He's faced nine batters. Has not recorded an out yet. So I should say four hits, four walks, and one hit by pitch. Has not recorded an out. Is a historically bad start to the season for a reliever. Funny thing is now people are saying, what's going to happen first? Is Chris Davis going to get a hit first, who's now 0 for his last 49, which is also, I believe, another record? Or is Trevor Rosenthal going to record an out first? I think Davis will get a hit first because they're going to continue to run him out there. I don't know the next time we see Trevor Rosenthal. I think it'll be in a mop-up situation, whether the Nats are way ahead or they're way behind. They've got to find a way they cannot put him in a high-leverage situation again until he can get his feet back underneath him. So Rosenthal still has not recorded an out. And I firmly believe this about the bullpen, and that's the That's the next point in the glass is half empty. The bullpen continues to struggle, except for tonight, six scoreless tonight. But the bullpen continues to struggle. And let's look at these ERAs. I mean, Justin Miller, 5.06. Matt Grace, 13.50. Tony Sipp, 15.43. Wander Suero has a 12 ERA. Jeremy Hellickson, who's been in the bullpen, has a 9 ERA. Joe Ross has an 81 ERA. Rosenthal's is infinite. The only two good ERAs so far in the bullpen, Sean Doolittle still has not allowed a run. And Kyle Barraclough at 1.80. Both of them pitched tonight. Both of them did not give up runs. Now, Joe Ross has only thrown a third of an inning, and he gave up one. Gave up three runs. That's why his ERA is at 81. Tonight, though, he did pitch well. And him, along with Matt Grace, helped lock down the middle towards the end of the game before Barraclough and Doolittle came in. But the bullpen continues to struggle. Their struggles were bad enough that they called up Joe Ross over the weekend for reinforcements to add another arm to the pen, and they're currently kicking the tires on Bud Norris. Now, Bud Norris remains unsigned, had a pretty decent season last year with the St. Louis Cardinals. The big concern, really, from what I've heard, is his health. And last year for the Cardinals, he appeared in 64 games. He had 28 saves and 57 and two-thirds innings pitched at 3.59 ERA. A pretty solid season. 67 strikeouts and 57 innings. The majority of his appearances came in the eighth inning or later. I mean, he'd be a nice addition to the Nats bullpen if he's healthy. There were rumors today that he had been offered a minor league deal and that he accepted. That apparently is not accurate. They're still in discussions. And any deal, according to Mike Rizzo, would be a minor league deal so that he could go to the minors, get himself ready, and if he's not what they expect him to be, then they would be able to get rid of him with very minimal impact to their bottom line and also to the big club. Right now, to me, their only reliable reliever has been Doolittle. Barraclough's numbers look good, but he has been somewhat inconsistent. Barraclough, again, has a 1.80 ERA, but, again, he allows people on base. He's got a 1.6 whip. He's walked five people in five innings. So Barraclough continues to – he's gotten himself into a little bit of trouble, but he's only given up one earned run in five innings. Tonight he recorded an out, so 5 1/3 innings and no earned runs. For Barraclough, I think Barraclough is going to be fine. Again, he's going to be a little bit erratic, but he's got good stuff for a 29-year-old. And again, Miller's been okay. They overused him towards the end of last week, and he had that one bad outing against the Mets, which ballooned his ERA. Again, early in the season, ERA is a tough thing to look at because one bad outing can balloon your ERA up, but the Nats bullpen has been anything but locked down, with the exception, again, of tonight against the Phillies. And another thing, really, that's been a bit surprising, we touched on this last week, the Nats spent all spring talking about fundamentals. They're going to be fundamentally sound defensively on the base paths. They have been anything but that since the season started. They have made small mistakes in the field. They have turned should-be outs into infield singles. And they've also had some base running mistakes. And they have, at times, played sloppy games. They've had a couple of clean games, but then they've, like, tonight was a clean game for them for the most part. They gave up six runs, but those were, you know, the runs were earned for the most part. They've made some small mistakes, and you got to wonder, are they pressing? They certainly focused on it in the spring. It's not a good look when you publicly state that you're focusing on fundamentals and defense, and then you come out and you've been one of the worst defensive ball clubs when it comes to park adjusted, and they've been one of the worst defensive ball clubs in baseball to start the season. I think some of that is to be expected with young guys like Robles and Soto. Robles has made some mistakes on the base paths. Soto, while improved, is still learning left field. But you'd expect veterans like Dozier at all to be making better plays in the field. I think that will come as they get more into the season and they get more comfortable. Speaking of Dozier, he has been ice cold. He did hit a home run last night. in the ninth inning to make it 4-3. They still ended up losing, but he did a hit home run last night. But going into tonight's game, he was 3-29 for a 103 batting average, one home run and one RBI, and only one walk but nine strikeouts. Not a good start for him. I am not worried about Brian Dozier. He is a notoriously slow starter. April is by far his worst month in his career. I think he's going to get it going. But they do have Howie Kendrick, who can play second base when Trey Turner comes back. Wilmer Defoe can play second base. So the options are there if they decide to make Dozier more of a part-time player. We'll see what happens there. And also Ryan Zimmerman has started off a bit slowly. He's batting .233. He does have 8 RBIs and 7 walks to only 5 strikeouts. But he started off a bit slowly. We have not seen much of Matt Adams. Matt Adams has only had 8 at-bats, whereas Ryan Zimmerman has had 30. And that's going to go into my final thoughts. I'd like to see Matt Adams get more playing time. But Zim has had a bit of a slow start as well. Again, though, with him, he looks like he's going to get it figured out. He's healthy. He's playing good defense. So, it to me right now goes in the glasses half empty jar, but I don't think it'll be prolonged for Ryan Zimmerman. The way the rest of the offense is playing right now, they have covered up for Dozier and Zimmerman. But once they start pitching around Juan Soto more, and if Zimmerman can't pick up the slack, that's when you're going to have issues. So that's my glasses half full, glasses half empty thing. I think they're pretty equal lists. I still feel positive about the Nats season. I think they'll figure it out in the bullpen. Whether it means that they got to let a couple guys go and maybe sign a guy like Bud Norris or whatever it might be. I actually think that Trevor Rosenthal will figure it out. I think he's like a golfer right now with the yips. He just needs to figure it out. He needs to get out there, get a couple good innings under his belt. His stuff is still good. I mean, 100 plus mile an hour fastball. He's got a pretty good breaking ball. It's just about locating right now. His problem has been 100%. He doesn't know where the ball's going. And he says he physically feels great. He just can't figure out he just doesn't know what's going on. He's frustrated. I think he figures it out. And I feel pretty good about the Nats. I mean, it's a tougher division. It's not going to be a cakewalk. I think us fans, we are a bit used to easier walks when it's a division-winning season. It's not going to be that this year. The Phillies have a prolific offense. But as they've shown in a couple games against the Nats, their pitching staff leaves something to be desired. Their starting pitching is not great. And Aaron Nola has had 2 not-so-good starts against the Nats. So I think the Phillies are vulnerable in that respect. The Mets, good starting pitching. I mean, Jacob deGrom has shown he's probably the best pitcher on the planet right now. Probably a slight notch above Max Scherzer. But the Nats have been able to get to Zach Wheeler, Noah Syndergaard. But their back end of the bullpen, Familia and Diaz, are very good. And they can score runs, And we haven't seen the Braves yet. The Braves are a pretty balanced team, but I think the Nats can contend with any of these 4 teams. I know that the Phillies right now, they seem so daunting because of their offense, but I'm telling you, their pitching staff is not great. And one arm does not change their season. Their pitching staff is not great. We saw Nola. We saw Vince Velasquez. The only person we have not seen is Jake Arrieta. We've missed him the first 2 times we've played them. But again, I think Arrieta's on the downside of his career. He's still an above-average pitcher, but he's not a great pitcher. So I feel pretty good about the Nats. I mean, the Nats are finding ways to win. They're also finding ways to lose. So it's been a much more interesting first 10 games than I expected. Would have been easier if it was just a boring 6-4 start for them. Instead, they're 5-5, and it's just been a roller coaster of emotions. So my final thoughts, one thing that's been talked about a lot because of how well Victor Robles has started. Should Davey move him up in the order? I don't think so. I think he's very comfortable in the 9 hole. He's almost like an afterthought. I think they're going to start circling him in meetings before series start as somebody to focus on. But I think moving him up now to the 2 slot, I think it puts too much pressure on him, especially because eventually Trey's going to come back and you're going to move Victor back down to the nine slot. I'd leave Victor there and have Dozier or Kendrick continue to be in that two hole. I don't think it's worth moving Robles up to the number two spot, in my opinion. I think let him stay comfortable in the nine hole. He's doing well there. I would not mess with a good thing, at least right now. I'd also like to see it, as I stated earlier, I'd like to see Matt Adams get a little bit more playing time. I think that he needs to get his swing down. And Zimmerman, again, has had a bit of a slow start. So I would expect Adams will probably get a start either tomorrow night or Friday night against Pittsburgh, just to keep him from getting stale. But I'd like to see him. He's a big power bat for the Nats from the left-hand side. I'd like to see him get some more playing time. Same thing for Howie Kendrick. I know he just got back, but he did get a start last night. I'd like to see him get a few more starts, especially if Dozier continues to start slowly and maybe even turn it into a platoon situation between him and Dozier. Kendrick's is just a professional hitter. He knows how to get on base. He knows how to make contact. Dozier, power threat by far. And you want him to get going, so he needs at-bats to get going. But you got to think about now and the future, as in the next few weeks. So I'd like to see Kendrick get a few more ABs and maybe get a couple more starts. They say, speaking of Trey Turner, he's expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks, so we might be able to see him back in mid-May. But I will say this, Defoe has shown that while he can't completely replace Trey, he is an admirable substitute. He has done a fine job replacing Trey Turner, has had some clutch hits. Defensively, he's been okay. He's had some balls that I think Trey would have made. They were ruled hits, hard hit balls. But Defoe's an admirable utility guy. Great to have him on the team. He's a spark plug. And I think that he's shown that he's worth being a major leaguer, and he's certainly shown that he's worth being on the ball club. Just for an example, he is batting 200 at least going into tonight's game, but he did have that big home run against the Mets. He's got 4 RBIs. And he's your shortstop because they sent Adrian Sanchez to Harrisburg. They have no other shortstops on the team. Right now they're saying the backup shortstop would be Anthony Rendon if something happened to Defoe. Defoe is your shortstop until Trey Turner gets back. All right, and I do know, so this whole podcast has been about the Nats, almost 38 minutes about the Nats. I do know the Caps and the Hurricanes, or the Canes, start on Thursday in D.C., and we will be talking about that starting next week because I really like playoff hockey. It's a tough thing for me to watch regular season hockey regularly because of commitments that I have with family and stuff like that, but I will be watching starting Thursday the Caps and the Canes. My amateur analysis, and it's very amateur. I am not at all an expert on hockey. My amateur analysis on the Caps, I really like their chances this year to make another run at it. I'm not saying that they're going to win the whole thing. They could. But I like their chances of making a strong run. And my reason is this. A, they're playing good hockey. They still have Ovi and, Holtby. Had showed himself last year to be a prolific playoff goaltender. Their issue to me going into the playoffs in past seasons wasn't their talent. It wasn't the fact that they weren't playing well. It was the fact that they had that monkey on their back that they were unsuccessful in the playoffs. And I do think that they let it get to them. And I think that that pressure got to them in previous years. That's not there anymore. They are the defending Stanley Cup champions. The idea that they're choke artists in the playoffs no longer exists. So I think that they will play more loose. I think they'll be more comfortable. And I expect them to be more relaxed. And I do expect them to play more confidently. And I think that all of that put together gives them a very good chance in this Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, a lot of things happen. Weird things can happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You could run into a hot goaltender. So anything can happen, but the Caps have home ice in the first series against the Hurricanes. It starts Thursday night. I look forward to that. Should be a great run for them, and DC could use another thing to cheer for, another great run. And we will be talking about that more now as we get to playoff time. The Wizards, their season has thankfully come to an end. Ernie Grunfeld got fired. Interesting news came out today. Magic Johnson is stepping down as the president of the Los Angeles Lakers. There are rumors that LeBron is asking for a trade. What the hell's going on in LA? A lot going on in basketball. Dwayne Wade saying goodbye tonight in Miami. Their playoffs are getting ready to start as well. So we'll talk about all of that next week. Appreciate you guys joining me. And as a reminder, we are affiliated with the DMVSportsNetwork.com. That is the DMVSportsNetwork.com. Check them out on Twitter at DMV underscore SN. Give us a follow on Twitter. It's About Time DC1. That's ITS About Time DC1. Subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. Rate us. Let us know what you think. We're always happy to hear from you guys. And until next week, we will talk to you guys soon. Take care.